Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, like, comment, and let us know what you think about the episode. If there's a particular guest or topic that you'd like to have covered, we're always checking your feedback on there and love to be able to get your suggestions on the future episodes. Today, I'm going to be joined by SBI, and they're a company that's been around for a really long time. They specialize in cylinder head upgrades, a ton of different parts. And I wanted to ask them about their diesel engine lineup and the way that they approach making valves and valve springs and a lot of other products for the trucks that we drive. So it's definitely going to be an interesting conversation. Before we get to it, we want to remind you that our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 40% off MSRP code. If you use 2024 Diesel 40 at kershaw.kaiusa.com, it's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear. If you need a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC, something around the job site or around the house, they've definitely got you covered with a bunch of different choices for blade steel, blade shape, different opening mechanisms, and then also handle design. So if you're in the market, head on over, use code 2024 Diesel 40 for 40% off MSRP. All right, let's get to today's podcast with SBI and talking about cylinder heads. Guys, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I'm looking forward to chatting with SBI. I'm familiar with you guys. In a former life, I was really into LS engines, so I've known about you guys for a long time. But I'm excited to chat about diesel products, learn more about the company, and some really cool things that you guys have for, you know, Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke owners. So welcome to the Diesel Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
I'd like to start for like our listeners that may not have heard of you guys, or they just have in passing, or have they seen you at a trade show, or have they seen your logo? Tell us a bit about the company and what you guys focus on.
Well, we're proudly in our 42nd year. So the full company name is SB International, but everyone refers to us inside the industry as SBI. So as the blue and yellow that Bashir has on, switched up a little bit to do gray and yellow today. But those three letters, you know, mean the world to us. So you may say SB International to somebody and they take a pause. But if you say SBI, then they're going to say, oh, no, I know who that is. Yeah. So we're very proud to be in our 42nd year, you know, as a business organization. And starting back in 1982, you know, such a different organization from then until now. When we first began in 82, we only offered valve seat inserts. So one particular product category inside a cylinder head. And through different time, you know, if you kind of fast forward from 1982 to 1981, you know, in 82, when we start with valve seat inserts and we introduced an Ellie Jones valve seat, you fast forward to 1991 and we wanted to be able to capture the engine valve itself. So introducing the Eloy brand and the Eaton standard of engine valves, you know, was a real game changer for the organization to start to be able to supply more components inside that cylinder head. To, you know, take it all the way to 2008 when we became the, you know, master global distributor for the world-renowned K-Line offering. So when you talk about valve guide liners, the bronze bullet valve guide liner, I mean, that's your number one quality anywhere around the globe. So to be able to partner with somebody like K-Line and be the exclusive master global distributor of that did nothing but lend another premium high quality piece, you know, that we could put out there for our customers globally. So when you, even though it encompasses a very long time from 82 to 2008 to be able to do that, we wanted to become the premier cylinder head component supplier globally. And to do that, you have to have everything that's going to go into a build. So did you just have a seat? No. Do you have a valve? Well, not just a valve. Do you have a guide? Do you have a spring? Do you have Keepers. Locks, stem seals, yeah. Injector tubes, and everything that's going to go inside that head? We have a full offering of that. So it's a neat process when you talk about our growth. because when we started in 82, just with valve seat inserts, the catalog was 7 or 8 pages. That was it. it's kind of hard to see behind the boxes here, but we have our most recent catalog today. That's a 1,000-page catalog. So to start with valve seat inserts that's this thick, to go to an absolute monster of a, it's bigger than a dictionary. Yeah. Some call it the Valve Train Bible. It makes everybody have big smiles, you know, inside this organization to watch that transformation of growth and, well, what we've become today in the 42nd year.
What's really interesting to me, thinking about the history from 82 to now, and I think about diesel engines, is how much they've changed from like the Ford IDIs and the first gen Cummins to what a 2024 truck is. And the technology, the heat, all the different factors that are into it. And we were talking a little bit before the podcast about applications, like race applications, daily drivers, and materials. And we have a lot of listeners that they're wanting to learn as much as they can, and they're wanting to make educated decisions when it comes to upgrades. Either they're forced to do because the OEM products failed, or they're wanting to be proactive with a build. I wanted to start at the foundation of cylinder heads and materials, because it can get really confusing. I get confused with it sometimes. Like, I hear terms thrown around, like porting, polishing, harden this, harden that, and I don't necessarily know what it means for me. And I'm sure it's going to vary a little bit based on application, but what's kind of a starting point for us to have a discussion about materials and doing upgrades to a cylinder head? I'm sure it's going to vary based on application, but where should we start?
And even if you want, and you have your guys that are nothing but, well, I'm a Duramax guy. No, I'm a Cummins ISV guy. I'm Ford Power Stroke. I bleed it every day. Yeah. So they generally stick to their own.
Yeah.
And are very proud of that, which you should, especially for what that darn truck is going to cost if, gosh forbid, you buy it new. So one of the big things to understand is the environment that it's going to live in. How's it going to work? How are you going to use it? Do not underdo it, but also why overbuild it if that's not what you're suiting, if you're setting out for. And there's so many different ways that that truck can be used. You know, from an individual that may own a construction company that routinely pulls a trailer behind them. Well, what if it's somebody that wants to take it and drag race that now? What if it's somebody that's going to sled pull? I see plenty of people that just want to know they have the horsepower, but don't really drive it that way, but want to be able to tell their buddies,
like a mild build,
my horsepower is this, my torque is this.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the questions, if through a good machine shop or builder, they should have some of those qualifying questions to mm-hmm. understand what is the customer looking for, so that if there is a problem, they're solving it. Or if you're working towards something and you're going to use it differently now, well, what is that? So we can give you the best build also for your budget. Yeah. You know, not everybody has unlimited funds that can go out and do whatever they want, you know, for that build. So I think that's one of the most important early questions that needs to be discussed with somebody, is how that truck is going to be utilized. Then from there, you can start to talk about, okay, there are different levels and there's different materials that go into that as well. Is it something that we had to change a potential dimension for? Is it something that we upgraded a material and changed a dimension? So there's more than one way to skin that cat, and it's going to have open dialogue and conversation, so you can give that customer the very best build possible without trying to break their bank and, you know, bust their budget.
Yeah. And that's where it gets, I think, tough nowadays, and it has been for a while, because we have the internet, we have social media, we have YouTube, different places to get information. And sometimes, like, as a truck owner or as an enthusiast, I might see this truck go out there and make 2,500 horsepower, 3,000 horsepower, whatever it is, and think, well, if it'll hold up to that, it'll definitely hold up to my 600 or my 550 or my 700. Yep. That's what I need. So I think a lot of the customers or truck owners may approach the machine shop or the builder and say, I want this material, I want this coating, because this is what works. And I think the discussion, and we're going to be chatting about cylinder heads, but I think it's kind of industry-wide, is how specialized it is what you guys do with dimensions, materials, coatings, that it's made for specific use. So just because we saw the 3,000 horsepower truck run it and it, you know, the engine held together, doesn't mean I need that on my daily driver. How do you guys approach design, engineering, when it comes to materials and specifications for specific uses, because I think I even do this myself. I think, okay, I've heard this is the best material. This is what I need. I'm not going to accept any less than this, but it might not last as long in my project or in my truck. And I set myself up for failure. So I think that's a really good point for us to learn from you guys and chat about.
You know, and a lot of that decision obviously is going to be between the machine shop, the builder, the customer, so that they can get on the same page for what they're going to do together. Where we come in is being able to have a wide variety or a, you know, a well-rounded offering then for the machine shop to be able to choose from. Take an engine valve, you know, where you're going to take a traditional stainless steel valve, whether that be depending whether we're talking about an intake or an exhaust hole, because that's going to, you know, be very different sometimes on, you know, temperature, and heat is always a killer. So are we doing something that is a 21-4N or a 23-8N stainless steel? Are we going to potentially take that stainless steel and apply a nitride coating to that? Are we going to go to an upper end material that we would take for, you would call a super alloy? You know, our choice for that is 751 Inconel. As you start to progress, though, in a better stainless steel, a coated stainless steel, a modified stainless steel, a super alloy, a 751 Inconel, as you make that progression, well, guess what? The cost is going to increase throughout that as well. And understanding what that customer's budget is, how they're going to use that so you can do the best build while keeping a budget in mind. I'm sure there's some people out there maybe that come in and just have an open checkbook and say, look, you know, give me the best of everything here. And dollars and cents may not be a factor for them, but I don't know how many, you know, get to have that opportunity. So, you know, understanding the difference in materials, but as you said, could that be overkill? Is that really needed? And sometimes, no, it's not. And it is going to vary off of a valve guide. It's going to vary off of seats. You know, Bashir and I were having a discussion before we got on with you, you know, here today, and we were talking about Cummins and how on the OE side, it is commonplace to hear that the intake seats, you know, drop or fall out. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, well, what would lead to something like that, whether it be the powdered metal material that is used, you know, for original equipment, or more importantly, the amount of press fit, you know, that is built into that, you know, press fit is everything. So to have it at 3 to 3.5 thou, you know, OE, you know, we build in 5 for that. So understanding what isn't working, how could we change that? So it goes back to what you wanted to talk about. Well, that could be through a dimension change. It could be through a material change. Sometimes you have to do both, because in a seat like that on the intake side, for the exhaust side, we offer a high nickel content seat to help that live longer. Well, on the intake side, in performance builds, you see a lot of individuals run the high nickel seat instead of the high chrome seat on the intake side as well. So there's so many different ways that you can help solve a problem or skin that cat. But if you don't have the options available for the builder or machine shop to choose from, well, I don't want the high chrome seat. I want the high nickel seat. I don't want the standard stainless steel valve. I need an upgraded stainless steel or a nitride coated, or I may want a super alloy.
Yeah.
So being able to have the different options for them, I think is everything.
Yeah.
And then they have the discussion with their customer about what they're looking for, how it's going to be used, how can they have the best build for them without overdoing it.
When it comes to light duty diesel, so Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke, we don't have to focus on one in particular, but I'm really curious what, when we look at failures or demand, say from a builder or a machine shop, they're calling you guys and saying, hey, we need this part. We're seeing this failure. Have you guys noticed that change throughout the years from, say, the earlier common rails to now with some of the just the heat that those engines generate with, you know, emissions and regeneration and things like that, where it's creating opportunities, or you need to think outside the box a little bit, or approach different materials for a newer truck that's going to see higher EGTs more constantly than the older ones did?
Oh, it does. You know, definitely. We've seen a lot of change, you know, over the years. And I'm glad that you bring up, you know, the term common rail, because there's still a ton of common rail builds. I mean, you see them every day. But EGT is important. You talk about, you know, temperature, as you said earlier, heat is a killer. As the people are pushing that harder, trying to develop something different, you know, cylinder pressure is something that you need to have in that conversation as well. And all of this ends up, you know, leading to, well, what's going to be the best material for that? Or are you going to change a dimension, the press fit that we talked about earlier here, so that you're not dropping a, you know, a valve seat? So we have seen a lot of changes. I mean, fast forward to today, take the 6-7 power stroke. So the OE valve, you know, comes Inconel now. So that is not something that you see in an OE build. So that is a super alloy right off the showroom floor when you buy that truck. And is that commonplace? No. But as you start to continually increase the horsepower and the output of what these trucks are able to do, it absolutely blows my mind from what I grew up with, you know, in the early 80s to what you see today in 2024. The power level is just unreal for your everyday truck that you haven't done anything to yet. Before you had, you know, non-EGR to EGR, and that exhaust gas is so hot. And yes, there's going to be an EGR cooler there, but it's also another piece that can potentially fail. So how do you build a little extra safety in for that is something that you have to look at. So from a design standpoint, we always start with the OE piece and then branch from there. So whether, and it's different levels, as we talked about earlier, it could be an OE piece, it could be a mild upgrade, it could be our full performance line. We never start with anything less than OE. So everything that we offer is OE equivalent and better. And it means an awful lot.
What's really exciting
You can't
about,
cut corners.
what's really exciting about the aftermarket is the power, like you mentioned. If we think back to the mid-90s and a 12 valve Cummins, the power it made, what people would spend to get it up to 500 horsepower or 550 versus where they arrive, you know, just off the showroom floor now, it's vastly different. And we're starting to see, one, these newer trucks get a lot more mileage on them. And I'm sure that there's weak points that you guys see, you know, through testing and evaluation of what fails at 300,000 miles or 400 or 500,000 miles. But then other aftermarket companies are also coming up with different turbos and injectors and things that are increasing the power even more. So we're starting to see that performance side come into play. And so I know there's a lot of interest out there where people are thinking, okay, I want to get more power out of my 6.7 Power Stroke or L5P or 6.7 Cummins. And I think it's so helpful when a company like yours and what you guys do is coming in to address the cylinder heads and the valve train, because that's a common thing as we increase, you know, boost and fueling and tuning and all the different things that are happening out there. We're going to come to a weak point in the factory cylinder heads.
You do, and you start to see you can only do so much. You know, and I never want to be negative about anything, but you're exactly right. The difference in power is absolutely opposite ends of the spectrum. Even just in the last 10 to 15 years, it has just changed immensely.
Yeah,
And
outside
you
of the
know,
box too.
oh
For
yeah,
something
right off the showroom
factory,
floor. So it's really neat. So how do you take that and continue to increase? Well, you had mentioned 2,500, 3,000 horsepower. We've seen it all the time.
Yeah, and I think our product team does a great job with, you know, getting some of these feedback of people are that are trying to build, you know, hey, I have this kind of build, and you know what, let's say you have a 6.0. Should I go full performance or should I go with stock replacement? And those are some of the questions that we here as a team, or I guess the tech line, can answer for you too.
Correct. You know, our tech line is one of our greatest assets because it is a direct correlation to communicate with our, you know, customer or potential customer, you know, also. And when they can call, so for instance, our product manager, he spent 15 years in a heavy-duty diesel machine shop. So when you get him on the telephone, There's no scenario that he hasn't seen that you can't talk through. And right away you say, oh my goodness, you know, this isn't a salesman. You know, I have somebody that has lived this, breathed this. Well, you experienced this. Why? Because this is going to be your weak point here. And you start to go through what that fix could be, even from installation potential heartaches or, you know, issues. And he can say, well, have you done this? And to have access to somebody like that with that much industry experience, you know, it's fantastic. From the design standpoint, our president and CEO was a longtime product manager here. So you talk about for the last 15 years, everything that was drawn inside that catalog was done by this individual. Mm-hmm. So to have him leading the organization with such a different lens, because not only was he involved in the process to develop it, reverse engineer it, he was the man that was drawing that product. So nobody's going to understand it more between him developing it, the current today product manager that used our product for years in his shop and installed it every single day before he worked here. Yeah. So when you put two minds like that together, it really leads us down, you know, a path of success.
I think that's where it differentiates us from other aftermarket Valtran brand, agreed. I would say.
We're able to pull from a very different base of knowledge.
Well, and there's so many questions or so many, I imagine, different questions you get, like what I am curious about right now versus if you're talking with a machine shop or an engine builder, they're going to ask you such different things. And I was curious about that. Like, what are some common questions you guys get when you're out there visiting with customers, potential customers, meeting with people? What are they asking you about diesel engines and maybe solutions that they want or feedback or what do they ask you when you guys are out there?
I mean, the biggest thing from their side, if it's somebody that's already familiar with the product line, there's such easy conversations because, and I'm not trying to talk poorly about any other organization, but quality is not at the same level from organization to organization. It's just being that's the flat out truth. And here at SBI, everything begins and ends with quality. There's no wavering any day of the week. It's just not what we do. We don't go to market based off of price. We go to market based off of quality. So if somebody has used the product, they are very understanding and trusting of that because they know what they're getting inside that blue and yellow box. So somebody that may not know that, if you have a seasoned machine shop and they've been doing this for any period of time, they know what they're trying to work with. So we talked about press fit earlier, and that can vary from your build and what you're doing, but the same way they're going to understand the material of what they're ordering to ask for with that. It could be something as small as what is your margin on the valve when we start to talk about, you know, how that seats with the valve seat. You know, what does that seat face look like? How do those two come together? And you will have somebody else's piece and he'll say, look, you know, there's not enough margin, you know, on this valve. Take a look at yours. Okay, this is why I like this. Any of the critical dimensions have to be strictly adhered to. There's a tolerance for everything depending on what the product category is. We have a set tolerance for everything that we have inside that cylinder head, and those are followed tooth and nail every single day. And if there's something that is off, then that piece gets thrown to the side and gets put in, you know, a QC hold, and then it's examined as to why that was off. And then we communicate with our factories that we partner with. You know, we've been lucky throughout these years and to be able to partner with OE facilities around the globe. And with that, there's an awful lot of technology that goes behind that from their side to our side here, whether it be our product manager, our president who has drawn everything for the last 15 years, you know, that has worked his way to that role, to the individuals that work in our quality control lab. It's here on site, you know, in our corporate office in Nashville. So there's different ways to make something. There's different ways to go to market. So to kind of sum that up, we begin and end with a top quality piece all day long. And is that material, is that critical dimension, is that going to be the, you know, reverse engineer to understand how we developed, you know, that piece? It's got to encompass all of that every day of the week.
I think that's also, from what I've seen, is what makes us one of the most trusted, I would say, brands within the engine builders community. for the past 42 years, really.
That level of quality.
Yeah.
You know, when it means something, that blue and yellow box, when you walk in, you know, we cover everything. You can go back to a tiny four cylinder, you know, gas engine to a 3500 series cat, you know, something that's going to be bigger than, you know, this conference room.
Yeah.
So we cover everything, you know, in between as well. But to just talk about light duty diesel here today, and the builder doesn't want to come back. They don't need practice. They know what they're doing. And do you really want a part failure that's going to be your comeback then? Because you didn't want to go with a trusted brand. I'm not sure that that's something that they want. You lost potentially then your customer's faith here for that. And are they going to come back to you a second time? The neat thing about these trucks, when we were talking earlier about just the sheer cost of it, if you were going to buy one new, how many times do we talk to people? It's not a second build. It's a third, a fourth, sometimes a fifth build, you know, of the cylinder head. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles, you know, put on these trucks, you know, and you love that. And do you want that customer to come back to you? Well, certainly you do. Well, they're not going to want to come back to you though if you have the failure with that. And did you have a failure because you chose an inferior piece? I tried to save $27 over here, but now I just cost you $3,000 because it's got to come back and I've got to pull the head and I've got to redo this for you.
Okay.
Correct. So it's very difficult. So some of the questions get technical in your to answer your question when you talk about, well, what does that look like at a machine shop level? You know, it depends on the scenario and what they're seeing, you know, as well, and what failed. Or it could be, you know, installation for that. You know, I'm having a problem plugging this hole because of this. Well, you know, what do you experience there? And whether you start to talk about what's the seat angle on that, you know, what was the press fit? You know, did you have a ceiling, you know, problem here? Did you drop a seat? Was it pounded out? You know, what happened? Did you, maybe the overhead adjustment, it was incorrect? You know, what's your protrusion and incision, you know, look like? And it's a lot of it as well. You'll get somebody that didn't have the overhead geometry correct. Yeah. Had nothing to do with the part itself at all.
We see it all the time.
Correct. So your overhead geometry is going to mean an awful lot. So you have to understand what that setup looks like. And I've seen cases before, I say we have, where the part will get blamed for that. And it had nothing to do, you know, with the part itself. Or God forbid, it was another part, kind of the chicken or the egg inside that cylinder head or engine, you know, that caused that. When you see the head completely sheared off and the piston slapped it, and you said, well, when in the heck were the piston and the valve supposed to physically meet and touch like that? Who do you think's going to win? That valve's not going to. I'm not going to win that battle. And you hate to be that, you hate to be that smart guy and answer that, but sometimes you have to say, well, when are those two supposed to touch?
Right. Yeah. And I think when I think of machine shops and I think of engine builders, I think they might be the most, you might get the most valuable feedback from them. They might be the most discerning customer, because like if I had a failure in say my engine or cylinder heads and I take it to a shop, they're the entity that I look towards. I may not know the types of parts they put into it. I may not know the types of machines they use to machine things. But if I have an issue as a truck owner, I'm blaming the shop. And so those guys, they have two different kind of, I guess, areas to focus on. Is one, who their customer is. They don't want that comeback and that failure. But then what type of materials or products or parts am I using to build this cylinder head or address this issue? And so do you think quality is what, say the companies who aren't familiar with SBI and you're talking to them, they've had another supplier or a series of host suppliers, and they've kind of had those issues and they're looking for a solution. Like they're at the point now where they don't care about the margin. They don't care how much the part costs. They're looking at it, like you said, did I save 27 bucks or lose 3,000 because I have to redo this whole thing? Is that where a lot of the people who are unfamiliar, you have that opportunity to talk with them and then go through the quality, the tolerances, the materials, and the other things you mentioned?
100%. As Bashir addressed on earlier, you know, saying that that is, you know, our biggest takeaway, you know, with our customers. And whether that be a production engine rebuilder, whether it be a specific machine shop, you know, our host of global distributors that sell our product, you know, it doesn't matter to any of them, how they're going to market and where they are, you know, in that process, but to know that they can rely on the blue and yellow box for a trusted piece each and every time means an awful lot. And there's variations to that. So to talk a little bit about the quality control lab that we had alluded to earlier, you know, they're in our corporate offices here in Nashville. Even though we have partnered with some of the best OE facilities around the globe, depending on what the product category is that we're talking about, we never allow a piece to come in and directly hit our shelf or to be shipped out without being analyzed and run through our QC lab. And it's not 100% inspection of every component that comes in.
Yeah.
It's going to vary by what that facility is, how long we have worked with them, how many pieces they produce for us every year. But there is a strict set of guidelines and tolerances dictated by what the product category is that they are run through a gamut before that is released, you know, when okayed to ship. So you're going to check hardness on it every time. You're going to check every critical dimension because if your dimension isn't there, you're going to have a problem. You can hold a valve, you can hold a spring, you can hold an injector tube, you can hold a valve guide. And how are you going to say, well, does that look right? Unless it is so far off.
They could look the same, and the hardness is different.
Correct. What if your hardness in your metal is not correct? What if you're taking a valve spring and you're sitting that upright? Well, how many degrees, you know, you're going to allow that to lean before you say, no, I'm
Yeah.
not going to accept that spring. Are you going to check the seat pressure on that as well? You have to understand how that's going to perform. And whether you look at something on our optical comparator inside, you know, the QC lab, you can cross-section anything to look at that, and you can take that measurement and know, yes, I am in spec. No, I am out of spec. You know, what is the runout going to be? It's neat to say, well, how do you know you have a top quality piece every time? Well, you have to have the right manufacturing facility, and you have to have the right process on the back end. So to know that that's always going to go through our QC lab and be run through such a strict set of
It's
guidelines
ensuring.
that we will not deviate from that tolerance, it is a really ensuring here. And somebody that may not understand the level of cost, even if that customer come back to you a second time, what that's going to cost that shop to redo that job, boy, that is not going to help their bottom line. And as you said earlier, okay, because I
Get some
tried to
cheap
save,
out.
you know,
Yeah.
a little bit on parts here, and I didn't
Correct.
explain to my customer of what I was trying to do and why my build may be just a little bit more, but what they're going to receive for that. And it's always in that communication. So it's the biggest takeaway that I could give to anybody that is unfamiliar with the brand. And not to say that the competition isn't good. I don't want to talk poorly about anybody else's brand. We have enough positive to rest on here from, you know, three letters that are on our chests. But that quality piece, that's everything to us every day of the week. Doesn't matter if it's going to be a valve keeper or a monster valve that's going to go in a 3500 series Caterpillar.
That's a
You're
lot of
never going to
the,
get.
yeah, and that's a lot of the feedback I get just, you know, chatting with listeners and enthusiasts is they want to avoid that failure if they can. And so they're trying to educate themselves on what goes into producing this part. And because we could find so many just bad stories out there of redoing a build or a job, you know, two times, three times, however many times it is. So I find that people are really interested in the quality control part of it, whether it's a truck owner or a shop or machine shop, they're really interested in that. The one thing I wanted to ask you, because I thought this was really interesting, is like you were chatting about valve train components, talking about the company, the quality control, is how you guys get your products out there into the marketplace. Because a lot of the companies I chat with, you can call them up, order, you know, a particular part, or you can get it through a dealer. How do you guys get your products out there to the diesel market?
We are big believers in the distribution model. So we have partnered with, you know, when you really the top distributors, you know, around the world. So machine shops, the distributors, everything to the machine shop level, generally, depending on their size, because being able to go to a WD not just for a cylinder head component, because what if you are building an entire engine for somebody? So do I need pistons? Do I need bearings? Do I need gaskets and seals? Do I need everything that's going to go inside the cylinder head? To be able to go to a distributor that can cover everything for you, it makes life very easy for the machine shop. One of the most ugly words or terms inside our industry is freight. That's another one. Nobody wants to have this stuff shipped to them, but they have to get it. Well, being able to make prepaid freight with a distributor, when you encompass more than one product category there, well, you can get that done like that. Yeah. And that saves the machine shop, whether they passed along to the customer or not, sometimes a tremendous amount of money for freight, because manufacturers or suppliers are positioned all over. Yeah. So do I have to come over here to Tennessee for cylinder head components? And do I have to go to Texas here to get gaskets and seals? And am I going to go to California to be able to get my pistons? And next thing you know, I have different components coming from all over the United States, and I didn't make freight potentially on any of them here. Well, who's going to eat that? The machine shop, the customer, or both? You know, what does that look like?
It's a one-stop shop, essentially, for machine shops.
Very much so. It makes life very easy for them. So we're a big believer in the distribution model. At one point in time, you know, in 1982 when we started, sure, you could call here and we were going to take your order and we're going to go direct because we were not an established organization. We're so different in 2024. You know, some of the older, smaller kind of legacy customers, we have helped drive that business back to a distributor. And that's that partnership, you know, between the two right there, that we can make any piece that we want and we can have the best quality in the world. But if we don't have customers and business partners to work with here to get that out into the marketplace, you know, what do we have? We don't have much. So the distributor has that network. It could be all over the country. You know, many of the larger distributors have multiple warehouses positioned geographically so that they have that footprint generally to try and get at least next day shipping, you know, to their customers all over the United States. Someone may only have one location. We have others that have 6, 8, 10 locations spread, you know, geographically around the United States. So being able to go through that distributor makes life easy for everybody. We ship to them. They ship to the customer. It can be a wide range of products that they ship to them. But understanding who we are to be efficient with that as well, you know, packing a tiny order for somebody that says, okay, can I get 8 valves and 8 valve guides? But here we're working on, you know, a potential $100,000 stock order, you know, for a distributor, and understanding what those two processes look like inside a major warehouse operation. Well, it's hard to do them both together. So we have tried to take some of those smaller legacy accounts and drive them towards a distributor and ask them, who do they work with? Are you familiar? Oh, yes, I already buy from them. Well, do you know they represent our line as well? They have it stocked on their shelf. So it's easier to grab that and faster. It's not just money. Time is money. Well, what if we can't get that to somebody for 3 or 4 days? But you could grab it from the distributor today or have it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Time is everything. What if you're working on somebody's truck and that's his construction vehicle and the cylinder head is off the truck right now and that's being done? He's losing money every day. The truck is not operational. He's not out there making money. He may not have a backup truck. Well, what in the heck does that guy do? Mm-hmm. He needs his head rebuilt as fast as possible and installed back in his rig so he can get back to making money.
Yep. I think
so. We're doing that through a wide distribution network, both here in North America and around the globe.
I hear that so much from shop owners. I know a lot of them personally and keep in touch with them. And I always like to kind of keep my finger on the pulse of how things work, because it all ties back in together. The parts you guys make, the shop where somebody's taking their truck, the person who's listening to this podcast who might have a question, it's all tied together. And I find a lot of them, access to products is the hugest part of it, because they're ordering other things from these distributors, whether it's a transmission, an air intake, brakes, whatever it might be, where these distributors have all that. And if I can now get these other components that I need for a build, or I can access it easily, as I think you're right, you can have the greatest product in the world, but if you can't access it, how much does it really matter? So I think that's really important for the shop owners we have listening, or the machine shops that are listening to the podcast. And I'm sure this is such a complex topic, depending on what engine we're talking about, what kind of build we're discussing. If any of these businesses have a question for you guys, or they want to get that catalog that I see behind you, or they want to know how are you guys different than who I currently use, how can they reach out to you guys and connect with somebody to ask those questions?
So we have our customer service line. If you look us up online, should be on Google. We have our social media, Instagram, SBI_Valvetrain. I'm on there all the time personally. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube even. So any of those social media networks, you can ask any questions and we'll be there to answer you.
What kind of things do you guys show on YouTube?
So currently we're partnered up with an engine shop out in Colorado. I don't know if any of your listeners have seen this, but Jamsey, he does a father and son content over engine building. You'll see it. I'm pretty sure after this, you'll probably scroll through and see a lot of his content. It just pops up out of nowhere, right? But we're partnered in with him currently, and you can see a lot of our components that he uses. But yeah, that's pretty much what we currently are working on YouTube. And further ado, we have a lot of plans with showing our QC labs, a lot of demos and whatnot. So you tune in, you'll be seeing a lot of that here soon.
That's really cool. That's really cool. I was just going to say, because there's some things that I like to buy that I can't buy direct. It has to go through distribution. And when I'm researching things, I like to see that kind of stuff. Like, I would love to see the QC process. I would love to see discussions and things that are behind the part and the logo. And I think that's something I hear. Well, I know I hear it a lot from listeners, but I've seen that more as a trend, is I want to know more about the company. I want to know more about the processes. So I think the things like you mentioned with YouTube, or other information you guys are going to have out there to show, it's going to be awesome, because people are just thirsty for knowledge and love to see that.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, some of the, you know, working with Jamsey and others on, you know, engine builds, and they do such a good job. And when they talk through what they're doing and what the piece is and what the material is, and it lends itself so well, as you were talking earlier, where people are thirsty for that knowledge and they eat that up. You know, we had a brand new booth this year at PRI that Bashir designed, you know, from pretty much from start to finish here, mm-hmm. you know, for us. And we have never had TVs hung in our booth before. And where there were different build videos, there were teardowns, there were some of the things that we've done, you know, with engine builder. So, you know, other discussions, but when somebody comes up and they see the process there, whether we are going through a QC process for a given piece, or we're in, you know, a complete teardown, and we had people while we were setting the booth up that were in the hall. So the show hasn't even started yet, but they would stop because the TV was running and they would stop and watch it.
Yeah.
And that there, when we caught that, we had exactly what, you know, you were thinking. They're just thirsty for that knowledge. They want to be able to see that. And if you can kind of peel the curtain back and let them see a little bit about what goes into this, that it's not just a piece placed in a box and sent out here for sale. It lends a lot of credibility to who you are and why they should choose your brand over any other brand that's there. So we look forward to developing more and more content like that, you know, through the help of, you know, Bashir now as our marketing manager. He's helping us see things through a different lens. It's not 1982 anymore. It's 2024. Everything is so very different about how you disseminate information, how you get your name out there, how you can be widely known. Even though we're extremely well branded, you know, inside the auto aftermarket, there's a new generation of young builder and young enthusiast that's coming up, and their father and their grandfather may know this brand, but the young person does not. Mm-hmm. So how do we grab that and capture that? And Bashir has really helped open our eyes and see that through a different lens. So it's very exciting. So I can't wait to continue the development of additional content like that. Mm-hmm. The YouTube channel is very, very new, you know, yep, to us. It's our latest, you know, addition here.
We're on TikTok as well.
And social media is new too. I mean, we've only had social media here now, so we're in our 42nd year. We've had social media for two years max. So we're very new to this. And the growth, all the positivity, the comments, the questions, everything we have seen from it was just a fantastic, so ultra successful in its infancy that we can't wait to take this, and just the trajectory is just going to go up and skyrocket. So that's why we're so proud to partner with somebody like you in this podcast as well. We've never done anything like this. This is very new to us.
It's really fun because, like I said, I've heard of the company. I've known people who have used your parts in builds, and so I was loosely familiar with SBI, but I get to sit down and chat with you guys for 45 minutes to an hour and ask these questions and learn more about what you do. And that's what's so exciting, because I might see the finished product. I might see the truck go down the drag strip. Somebody might tell me I've got 600,000 miles on this truck and it's held up great. But what went into it? How did it work? Or a shop owner sometimes might reach out and say, "Hey man, can you get somebody on the podcast to talk about this? Because I'm struggling with how to fix this problem, or where do I get this from?" And so that education and that sharing of knowledge is so important. I've really enjoyed chatting with you guys. I'm sure after this podcast, I'll come up with a couple dozen questions that are probably really specific to nitride coating or something else, and we could sit down and chat again. But I appreciate your time today, chatting with me and answering my questions, helping me learn more.
Ah, thank you so much,
Absolutely.
for having us. And one thing I wanted to touch on before we get off with each other, when you're asking about, how can somebody reach out to us here? I love our toll-free number, because when you talk about how the company began in 1982 by offering valve seat inserts, our toll-free number is 800 the seat. I
That's
love that.
easy to remember.
You can't forget that
It
one.
is, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kaiusa.com. Use code 2024 diesel 40 for 40% off MSRP. It's a great way to save some money, get a cool knife, something for EDC, hunting, fishing, around the job site, or around the house. They've got a whole lineup of knives to meet any budget and tons of different choices for blade shape, blade steel, different opening mechanisms, different handle designs. So if you're in the market, definitely head on over, check them out, and use that code for 40% off MSRP. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen, a 23 Diesel, John, J. Cole, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube, podcast apps, follow us on social media. We appreciate all your support here in year 8 of the Diesel Podcast and look forward to bringing you more of the content that you want to hear in 2024. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.